they're still there. These men and women deserve more than our support. They deserve the comforts of home. Send a military care package today. Just type military care package into the search engine, point and click. Let's show our troops we care. This message from RGK Custom Flooring in Eaton. Give Kurt a call at 970-539-6113. Reminding everyone that we live in the land of the free, thanks to the brave.
Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional athlete or just looking for nutritional peace of mind, look no more, because you've found BioSuperfood, the next generation in supplementation. 100% natural BioSuperfood packs all your essential proteins, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, and many of nature's special forces you need for optimum health. Call BioAge at 877-288-9116, 877-288-9116.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom. Good Sabbath.
Good morning, Dr. Dan here at the American Freedom Network, and we are living in the most dramatic times, certainly in my lifetime, and I've been following what's going on very closely for 49 years. What you are seeing is the most dramatic change of the structure of the world. Now, certainly we're told that when the Berlin Wall came down and the Soviet Union collapsed, why, that was a dramatic change. Well, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that was totally phony. I mean, certainly the hierarchy of Russia remained the same. The KGB just took over everything, and they call themselves the oligarchs. But nothing changed with the political structure, whereas we are going to see a change in the political structure not only of Egypt, but of the entire region of the world. Certainly, Turkey has gone to the radical Islamic position thanks to the efforts of our CIA. Why would the CIA be working behind the scenes to push Turkey from being an ally to being an enemy? Why, it's the old adage, the best enemy money can buy. And we see this all throughout the Near East and the Middle East taking place today. And this is going to have a profound impact upon that region of the world. But it's going to have a profound impact on America, because I think it's a prelude to a great war that's coming in the not-too-distant future. Not necessarily with Russia and China, but with the Islamic world and Israel, and we are going to be drawn into that, and we are bankrupt morally, we are bankrupt financially, and this war is, I believe, going to have a tremendous impact. But let's get to our special guest this morning and see if he agrees or disagrees, and he always has the right to disagree with me, and he's usually right. His name is Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. Good to have you back with us, Joel.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. It's good to be with you. I appreciated your introduction. I agree with what you have said, and I'm going to expand on this in today's World Affairs Brief, which we'll be giving you a preview here on this broadcast. First of all, returning to the Soviet Union, it was very interesting to watch how compliant the international media was as they accepted what was presented as a spontaneous revolution in the Soviet Union, taking down the leadership. And in fact, you know, revolutions of this sort are never spontaneous. Historically, we have never had a case where tyrants voluntarily relinquish their grip over power because of economic reasons or because of social unrest. It just doesn't happen, and it didn't happen in the Soviet Union. It was made to appear that way. But, you know, the media was very, very quick to overlook some of the anomalies that were very, very obvious to an observer who looked deeper than the newscast. I mean, one has to ask, for example, how is it that in the supposed coup against Gorbachev that the heads of the KGB, the defense minister, and the GRU, or the intelligence community of the military, fled for their lives after the failed coup against Gorbachev. I mean, who did they flee from if they control the levers of power? Nobody asked that question. Who does the KGB run away from when they control the KGB? It's like the Nazi SS running away from what when they control the state power? No one in the media asked why the KGB failed to capture Gorbachev in his undefended villa when they have toppled governments for years. No one asked why the Communist Party, who controlled the television station, didn't pull the plug on Yeltsin's broadcast from the Kremlin sitting on top of a tank when they controlled the broadcast media. I mean, it was a carefully crafted deception.
And
no one asked.
Important
how
thing was, the military could have intervened, and they didn't, in Russia with the Russian Revolution, and they did not intervene in the recent revolution in Cairo. And the military could have put it down, just as the Chinese did at Tiananmen Square, and the military didn't.
That's right. Well, you know, the protest contagion is spreading selectively throughout the Middle East. Only the wealthiest and most repressive Arab countries have been spared so far, Saudi Arabia. And this is an ongoing issue, and we haven't seen the end of it. It is the beginning of a kind of revolution that will even get bigger and more volatile. But let us be very clear, none of this is spontaneous, at least to start with. This thing is provoked and allowed to happen, just as it did in Leipzig when the student riots were suddenly allowed to go forth. I mean, you have to ask, why were the students suddenly felt free that they could protest against Soviet communism in East Germany, when in fact a month or a week before they would have been arrested on the spot? Well, we now know the answer, because Erich Honecker, the former premier of East Germany, admitted on his deathbed that he was given orders from Moscow to allow the Leipzig protests to go forth and not to interfere with them. In fact, we know that all of the student organizations were infiltrated with communist cadres, and they, of course, were given the word to encourage all the students and to assure them that they could get away with the protest this time. Well, similar things are happening in the Middle East. No one dares challenge a repressive regime in the public streets unless someone whispers assurances that they can get away with it. And in addition, someone has to be controlling the secret police to keep them from arresting. And so it isn't just, instigating and organizing the protest and making it appear spontaneous. It's someone has to be involved in controlling the secret police, the military, under the Mubarak regime, so that, and I don't believe Mubarak knew what was going on. I don't believe he knew he was being undermined by secret black operations forces from the West, who had telegraphed their intentions to the Egyptian military and to the Egyptian secret police. And I think when they developed these secret relationships by promising them either money or power in the post-Mubarak era, the message never gets up to Mubarak. One of the most interesting things that I found in the news, Egyptian news, was the story that, let me see if I can find it here, that Mubarak was in a coma the day after he resigned. Now, this is a very telling, it didn't hit the mainstream press, as far as I remember, but this is very telling because it indicates that, remember the story we talked about in last week's World Affairs Brief, whereby the military had told the protesters in the street that Mubarak was going to resign the next day, and he did.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
The people who are controlling the government of America are the same people who are trying to control your family's health care. You can sit quietly by and accept their plan, or you can take responsibility for your health. What would happen if you could no longer obtain the medications you're now taking? Would you be forced to join the ranks of corrupt agents just to purchase the medicine? If you're one of the thousands of concerned citizens who would like to know more about a natural way, God's way to help, drop by the Green Herb for a natural solution and all the information you need to make an intelligent decision. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. And be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Just a good old boy.
Hi, I'm Eric Cedarstrup. For over a decade, I've been the CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor of the Patriot Trading Group. And in that time, I've made friends with tens of thousands of like-minded individuals all over this country, most like me, trying to raise a family, run a business, and make sense out of a world gone mad. I'm proud of the fact that through stock bubbles, housing bubbles, and financial chaos, our customers are prospering and doing very well. By keeping our prices fair and our service fast, we find that 80% of our customers not only reorder, but they tell their friends. Don't be fooled by hype and high pressure. Do business with a company you can trust. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 1-800-951-0592 or check out our website at allamericangold.com. You'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cedarstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
Making their way, the only way they know how.
Well, Dr. Dan, back here at the American Freedom Network, and Sidney Joel was just commenting that from the Egyptian press, he found that Mubarak was comatose the day after he resigned. Now, how could that happen? We saw him on television. He was saying, I won't resign, I won't resign, I won't resign, I'm going to resign. What happened? Well, I suspect he got an offer he couldn't refuse. You know, certainly we know what happened when Batista of Cuba got the order from the American State Department, you will leave tomorrow. I know he got the order because I talked to the American ambassador who was instructed to tell the duly elected leader of Panama, you will leave your country tomorrow, which meant Fidel Castro would take over. And, of course, Mr. Allende, he would not leave power in Chile, and we know what happened to Allende. Well, let me pick up the story about Mubarak.
Well, it was reported in at least two Egyptian newspapers that Mubarak was in a coma the next day afterwards. This is very strange because remember that we just had an ousting of a president in Tunisia, and the next day he suffers a stroke and falls into a coma. Now, how bizarre is that, Dr. Stan? I mean, what are the chances that the day after two major tyrannical presidents resign against their will, that they're falling into coma? I think these people were poisoned or otherwise interdicted in their health, and that's why they're in a coma. I think they were subjects of black ops.
Do we know what's happened to Mubarak since that time?
No. This is so very easy to confirm. This goes back now almost 2 days now since this report surfaced, and not a single press report in the United States has done anything to try to confirm these rumors. Only three have talked about, and most of them are European presses, that there are rumors that he's fallen in a coma. I mean, this should be top news, but it's not. It's obvious that people know that we don't want to go there. Had you heard that ousted President Ben Ali had fallen into a coma?
No, I hadn't, but it could be he didn't fall into a coma. It could be he was put into a coma. But what we're dealing with is organized evil. It's that what happened to Sharon over in Israel, and he's still in a coma.
He stroke, didn't he? And he's still in a coma.
Yeah.
Well, he
fell into a coma shortly after he had tea with Perez, who said he wanted his job. But go right ahead.
Well, I think that the black operations, Mossad, CIA, and others have intervened, in fact, to take down the Mubarak administration, and he wasn't going to go along. That's the same thing that happened to Ceausescu in Romania. He wasn't going to go along. He was killed by the Soviets in order to promulgate this revolution. I mean, this is is tactics that have long been established, and I think we need to put two and two together and realize that these people were moved from. Now, I have no sympathy for Mubarak. He was a tyrant, but he was the U.S. tyrant. He was the U.S. dictator. He was backed by them for three decades. And now they decided he's time to go, and he wasn't going to go. He didn't know that it was his time, and they took him out forcefully. That's what I think has happened. So this is all managed, as you say, political theater, and I think it's going to go forward. The question is, will the Arab uprising spread to Iran? In recent days, there's been much talk of Egypt's political contagion wending its way through the Arab world and into Iran, which is the first non-Arab country to be caught in the revolutionary fever. If Egypt and Tunisia can do it, why can't we, you hear in hushed conversations at street corners and marketplaces across Iran? Iranian opposition leader Mehdi Karoubi was placed under house arrest as Iranian opposition groups threatened to rally in Tehran in support of the uprisings in Egypt and Tunisia. We just have to wonder, is this going to be allowed to spread? Well, I don't think so. Iranian opposition leaders have issued a call for a peaceful rally in support of the Egyptian, but the Iranian police have clamped down very, very hard. Protesters were treated roughly. Many were arrested. It's a clear threat dilemma to the Iranian authorities, who have publicly backed the events in Cairo as an Islamic awakening, similar to Iran's 1979 revolution, but they don't want that to be viewed as applicable to Iran. I mean, it puts them in a bad theoretical position to be championing those things, and yet when it happens against them, they turn down with an iron fist. But it's very interesting. The U.S., of course, has had black operations trying to foment unrest in Iran for many, many years. They've had some success in the border areas and in infiltrating the opposition areas or opposition parties in Tehran itself. But they obviously don't have an inside to the Iranian regime to cause them to let them go forward. And that's the telling difference. In Egypt, the secret police did nothing to arrest people that they would have normally done the day before. The police, the military did nothing to intervene except to maybe stop some of the provocateurs, pro-Mubarak provocateurs that were battling physically the anti-Mubarak protesters. But other than that, they really didn't go in there to stop that. Whereas in Iran, where you have, where the CIA does not control these people directly, I think they did originally when they put the Ayatollah into power. But if I can project this whole concept of what they did in Iran into Egypt, I want to make the statement that they don't absolutely control these Islamic revolutionaries. I think they control Al-Qaeda, but they don't control these wide groups of Islamic fundamentalists. They have to manipulate them. They can put them into power, but once they're in power, they're kind of unleashing a dragon which will create sufficient unrest that allows them years later to come in and attack or to do something drastic, as they're still planning to do in Iran. So what I see happening here in Egypt and in other countries is that they're unleashing the dragon on these countries. They're going to create chaos, and eventually it's going to allow an excuse for Israel or the United States to intervene, and I think that intervention will be in the form of a major Middle East war.
I think you're absolutely right, and I would just comment, certainly if the government wants to control a revolution, we saw it, what happened in Tiananmen Square, and probably 10,000 or more Chinese were killed at that time, and the United States objected and said how terrible, and then immediately rewarded China by giving them most favored nation treaty status. In other words, now they can bring their goods into the United States without tariffs. In other words, we really supported this ruthless suppression there. I mean, George Bush could have just cut off our relationships with China after the brutal suppression. We supported that suppression. We are supporting what's going on in Europe, in the Middle East today. In fact, I'm firmly convinced that the police and the military were paid off in all of these countries, except, of course, for Iran, but they were paid off in the rest of them not to intervene, and that is why this thing is doing what it's doing. They give you all the reasons for this revolution, but they never point out somebody paid off the military, somebody paid off the police.
Well, at least they could point out the anomalies such as we're doing. I mean, we don't have any proof that this has been paid off. This is under the cover. Something had to, some pressure, some inducement has to be applied. That much we know because of the fact that they didn't act as they normally act. Ruthlessly. They did not act. And so something has to explain that. When Mubarak refused to step down voluntarily, he happened to, that is proof that he would not have given the orders for them not to go after the protesters. Somebody was intervening between Mubarak and his normal henchmen to induce them or entice them away from his realm of influence. Well,
you know, article you brought out a few weeks ago about Lord James, a member of the House of Lords, getting up on the 4th of November and talking about how we had funneled billions of pounds into the terrorists in North Africa, couldn't talk about it because it was a sensitive issue and it was ongoing. Billions of pounds to the terrorists in North Africa. And then, of course, he says, Chris, don't call the police on me. Because I'm just acting as an agent of the Bank of England. Why would the Bank of England be funneling billions of pounds to the terrorists in North Africa? Who were they giving it to? Well, and then suddenly, just a few weeks later, this whole revolutionary movement breaks out. Billions of pounds to the terrorists in North Africa is what he talked about. Not a word in the American media. They pulled the article down off of Google. They pulled it down off a start page. I was able to get it off of Yahoo a couple of days ago. But, I mean, somebody got billions of pounds. That's a lot of money.
Well, actually, I don't think it ever said billions for the North Africans. What it really was talking about was they laundered over $1 billion for the IRA. And as an afterthought, he said, and a similar program is going on relative to the terrorists in North Africa. So it wasn't the main thrust of Lord James's accusation. In fact, it came about because he was trying to explain how this secret foundation of money was working with the Bank of England to offering to pay off the national debt of Britain, of course, in exchange for some unknown commitments. And he was challenged on the floor of the House of Commons by saying, you know, you're not high enough to have known this. You know, someone challenged him right there on the floor. And that's when he said, oh, yes, I am high enough because I have been onto it. I mean, they dug their own grave. He wasn't intending to reveal this about terrorism. But when they challenged him, he used it as his defense. Yes, I am high enough because I've been the funneling tool for the Bank of England to put a billion pounds into the IRA's coffers and to Middle Eastern terrorist oil, which is still classified, so I can't talk about that. But apparently right. He could talk about the IRA, and that's kind of the whole story there. But you're absolutely right. I mean, the media just let that story die. It should have been front page over. You know, Lord James of the House of Commons admits that Bank of England was funding terrorism. But, boy, I'll tell you, this is I expect him to be in a coma on the next day or so. But, you know, we still have people on our side, Stan, like Glenn Beck, jumping on the Islamic Jihad warning bandwagon, usually reserved for neocons. Is susceptible to these things. I think he's always looking for hot issues to push on a show. And I think he's made a mistake by pushing this one as a communist Islamic conspiracy. Even normally pro-neocon Bill O'Reilly wasn't buying it when he and Glenn got into it on their regular head-to-head show over current affairs during their weekly At Your Beck and Call segment. Bill O'Reilly dismissed Glenn Beck's theory about the Egyptian revolution, namely that it marks the beginning of an alliance between communist and Islamic fundamentalists and will lead to a new caliphate. That's a term describing the first system of government established in Islam and representing the political unity of a greater Muslim nation. So Beck is pushing this greater Muslim nation, threatening the West, the ultimate battle of civilization. And that's a neocon position. You know, it doesn't really exist. The Muslim communities don't have the power to put together an end-of-the-world scenario. They've always been used by Western powers or Eastern powers in order to be the blunt end of a sword, and they've had, never had any capacity to attack on their own without being, you know, funded by Russia or the West. But, you know, what he fails to point out, what Beck is missing, is the target of the protest is clearly the arrogant and unresponsive leaders running these puppet nations in a loose alliance with Western globalists. Sure, there is resentment from the Islamic fundamentalists about the fact that the U.S. has been backing Mubarak for decades. But this is clearly an not an anti-Western attack, especially since protest leaders, in fact, have expressed pleasure with the solidarity of President Obama and others in the West who have been appearing to support them. So this just cannot be made out to be a jihad against the West type of thing. Right now, this is specifically talking. Now, it may turn into that, especially as it is guided by black operations and globalists. But the globalists are setting the Middle East on fire, probably to provoke a wider Middle East war involving Israel and Iran eventually. I think we're a ways off from making that connection yet. But it wouldn't take much for Israel to close that connection, especially if Iran is stupid enough to start sending warships through or along Israel's coast, and that's just happening. Wednesday, Israel complained bitterly about Iran's plans to send two warships through the Suez Canal, which would transit, of course, right in front of Israel, calling it a provocation. Well, the provocation is Israel on that.
Hold that thought, Joel. Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
Shalom. This is Pastor Michael Golden of the Voice of Many Waters Congregation, personally inviting you to join me as we continue our series on exploring your God-given spiritual gifts and utilizing them biblically to build Yahweh's kingdom. We'll be meeting at 3J's Christian Coffee House in Johnstown, Saturdays beginning at 1 p.m. We'll look through the lens of Torah and address questions like, how do I know what my gifts really are? What's my purpose in using the spiritual gifts? Can my spiritual gifts be blocked for some reason? I've used my spiritual gifts for years. What does Torah have to do with them? How do I know the difference between truth or error, or the office and the gift, and much more? This series includes an extensive personal spiritual gift profile and how to understand who God has called you to be through your gifts in a safe, orderly, and biblically based environment. The exciting series will continue over the next few weeks, so please join us. Contact the Voice of Many Waters congregation at 1-800-205-6245 or 303-522-3562. A love offering will be collected.
11 years ago, when my uncle started the Patriot Trading Group, gas was 75 cents a gallon, we were running an alleged budget surplus, and the total national debt was $5 trillion, and the government was forecasting the debt would be eliminated by 2010. And I thought my uncle was a wacko with tinfoil on his head. Well, I owned tech stocks certain to become a millionaire before the millennium rolled over. Since then, the debt has doubled, jobs are heading overseas, and 100,000 people have joined Eric with tinfoil on their heads. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President for the Patriot Trading Group, and as gold and silver have doubled and even tripled during the first 11 years, the issues facing this country over the next 11 years look far worse. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. We offer all forms of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, shipped and delivered at the most competitive prices in the country. Call us, 800-951-0592, or check out our website at allamericangold.com. And remember, you don't need to have tinfoil to own gold and silver.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Timberline Nails and Spa in Fort Collins asks listeners, do you think driving drunk is no big deal? Imagine what it can do for your social life, including bus rides, counseling, community service, court dates, and the special new friends you'll make during your stay in jail, if you live. So please drive responsibly. If you drink, don't drive. This is a message from Timberline Nails and Spa in Fort Collins. Give them a call today at 225-2000. They remind you, you don't drink and drive. Your life and your mind depend upon it. 225-2000.
Well, Dr. Stan, Dan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Joel Skousen. And before we go on, Joel, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you, get a copy of the World Affairs Brief, and subscribe, of course.
Thank you, Stan. The World Affairs Brief is showcased on my website, worldaffairsbrief.com. Listeners can get a free sample issue by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. If they forget how to do that, they can go to the website. It tells them right on the front page after reading the synopsis of the current brief where they can get a free sample issue. There is a modest subscription price to support my work to put out this world this weekly world news analysis, but I think it's one of the best bargains on the web. Lots of free stuff also on my website, including a synopsis of my books, While I, Like You, Dr. Stan, Fight the Battle to Try to Win Back Our Liberty, I think we need to prepare as a nation for a takedown as well, should we not be successful in overcoming the forces that conspire to take away liberty. And that's why I've written three books on high security construction and strategic relocation. That's the name of my the latest book, at least the third edition, all new color map edition of my classic book, Strategic Relocation. And that's going to be available next week, so people are free to order that. In fact, Radio Liberty, your organization, carries those books, as well as The Secure Home, my book on architecture and remodeling on high security and self-sufficient construction.
And,
I also have a book.
And they're among our bestsellers. And the telephone number to get them, 1-800-544-8927. That's for Joel's three books on the Sunni strategic relocation, The Secure Home, and the third one. And we don't have strategic relocation. How soon will that be available, Joel?
Next week. There was a glitch that cost us another couple of days yesterday, but they're promising us books by Tuesday, and so we'll get books shipped to you probably next Wednesday, Stan.
Fine, thank you so much. Well, you remember, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to get Joel's books, and they're important if you want to begin planning for what I believe are the very difficult times that lie ahead, the number 1-800-544-8927. Go right ahead.
Well, let's switch topics a little bit now. There's a breaking story here. The Montana gun case is coming to the fore. Remember, Montana was the first state to pass a law that exempted all guns manufactured or and ammunition manufactured in Montana from federal gun laws. The federal government is challenging this. It's going to court this week. Utah and 11 other states have passed similar laws, and so they've submitted friends of the court briefings on that. Of course, everyone in the establishment legal establishment is saying it's highly unlikely or highly likely that this is going to be held unconstitutional. I tend to agree it's going to be held unconstitutional, not because the constitutionality of that, but because of the fact that the courts and the lawyers rely more on case law and precedent than they do on the Constitution. It's even doubtful the judge agrees to hear the case on its merits. He can simply wipe it aside without a ruling, saying that it's a frivolous case. The lawsuit appears weak, said Frederick Geddix, a BYU law professor. I mean, here's a law school that's supposed to be conservative, and yet it teaches constitutional law, but he's no friend of the Constitution. Based on existing precedent, he says the chances of success are remote. Well, of course, based upon existing precedent. That's what precedent does, is put a wall of interpretation in front of the real document, and that's what courts and the lawyers all are trained in law schools, except for a handful of law schools, to defend. So, but it's going to be interesting. I have long said, you know, that it's one thing for states to pass a resolution defending the 10th Amendment, but what happens when, in fact, the courts don't sustain that anymore? Are they going to stand up against it? And I think at some point we're going to see whether Montana has to say, well, you come in and try to enforce it, but we're not going to let you enforce it in this state. I mean, there has to be a nullification. There has to be a refusal to comply with the courts when they are, in fact, ruling against the Constitution.
Very interesting. We've seen in the past, certainly have with the efforts for integration during the civil rights struggle, where they sent in federal troops. I think they started in sending in federal troops now into the various states to enforce unconstitutional laws that are popular with the public. I think they're going to find there's going to be real objection to this. And I think it would be the worst thing in the world, because people would begin to see we're moving towards a totalitarian police state. Most people were in favor of integration. They were against the South and their what was going on there. But I think it was on the Second Amendment issues why they wouldn't have very much support from the general public sending in troops to enforce it.
Yeah, I think you're right, Dr. Stan. What I really worry about is there's very few people within the highest levels of state government, especially the attorneys generals and various other attorneys, that want to put their reputation on the line for state rights, states' rights. They know that the legal profession and the judges, which determine their ability to rise within that profession because they're officers of the court, you know, can sanction them and can make it very difficult for them to ever win a case, you know, if they stand up against the judges. And so I'm just worried that the states, in fact, will continue to succumb to federal pressure and not have the courage to stand up against it. And you're right, I think that they could. I think there's a great deal of public backing, more so than there has been since the Civil War, about standing up against unconstitutional federal mandates. But, you know, if it's any indication, the Tea Party resistance of the new 87 freshmen in Congress is just crumbling. There's an article written by Susan Lindauer, one of the victims, the two victims of the Patriot Act who were citizens of the United States. One was Jose Padilla, who was prosecuted under the Patriot Act, and the Constitution was just whitewashed to justify his incarceration for 3 years and failure to give a speedy trial, and so was Susan Lindauer. Susan Lindauer was the first non-Arab to be under a citizen to be under the Patriot Act. She got indicted for, and what I'm basically saying is the Tea Party just fell apart. They made this little resistance movement about last week against an accelerated vote to acquiesce to an extension of the Tea Party Act, and then they folded the next day under pressure from the Republican establishment. Only 20 or 30 people who voted against the Patriot Act on an accelerated extension went down to 4 the next day. It was very, very sad to see that. Well, Susan Lindauer got indicted for protesting the war in Iraq. She said, "My crime was delivering a warm-hearted letter to my second cousin, Andy Card, White House Chief of Staff, which correctly outlined the consequences of war. Suspiciously, I'd been one of the few assets, CIA assets, covering the Iraqi embassy at the United Nations for 7 years. Thus, I was personally acquainted with the truth about pre-war intelligence, which differs remarkably from the story invented by President Bush on Capitol Hill." In a related story, Rafid Ahmed Alwan al-Janabi, the Iraqi defector, CIA codenamed him Curveball, recently admitted he's been in Germany. The German intelligence has been keeping him in a villa for the past 5 years.
Hold that thought, Joel. We'll be back in just a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional athlete or just looking for nutritional peace of mind, look no more, because you've found Bio Superfood, the next generation in supplementation. 100% natural Bio Superfood packs all your essential proteins, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, and many of nature's special forces you need for optimum health. Call BioAge at 877-288-9116, 877-288-9116.
Our children represent our nation's most precious resource. Within them lie our hopes and dreams for the future of our country and the world we live in. Unfortunately, many children are victims of abuse and neglect. You can help in the fight against child abuse. Call your local child abuse authority. A strong, safe community begins with the involvement and integrity of its people. This reminder brought to you by the folks who care at Sykes Enterprises, where they realize children are our future, and that's a future worth protecting. That's Sykes Enterprise at 777 North 4th Street in Sterling.
Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. Three praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org.
Stand back here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning, Joel Skousen, he's telling the story of Susan Lindauer, which I hadn't heard before, but fascinating information about this woman who was indicted and then held for a prolonged period of time without trial in violation of all of our laws, but it was under the Patriot Act in the name of protecting us from the wicked Osama bin Laden, who wants to take away our freedom. So that's why we have to give up our freedom. But go right ahead, Joel.
Well, Lindauer, part of her CIA team, also gave forewarnings of the 9/11 attack and also were busy soliciting Iraq's cooperation after 9/11, which they said they received. In August 2001, she says that the urging, this was just before 9/11, the urging of my CIA handler, I telephoned Attorney General John Ashcroft's private staff and the Office of Counterterrorism to ask for an emergency broadcast alert across all federal agencies warning about aircraft hijackings with the World Trade Center as the identified target. And, of course, they refused to do that, knowing, of course, that you know, this was a government operation. They didn't want to warn everyone against a government operation. Republican leaders invoked the Patriot Act to take me down 30 days after I approached the offices of Senator John McCain and Trent Lott, requesting to testify about Iraq's cooperation with the 9/11 investigation and a comprehensive peace framework that would have averted the attack on Iraq. Ironically, because of the Patriot Act, my conversations, she said, with Senator Trent Lott's staff were captured on wiretaps, proving my story, but not allowed into court. Contrary to rhetoric, she says, on Capitol Hill, the Patriot Act is first and foremost a weapon to bludgeon whistleblowers and to wiretap everybody's phones so that they can know who's talking out of school. Political dissidents like Linda, or by Susan Lindauer, of course, are the real target of the Patriot Act. They also want to track dissidents generally within the United States. Her story is particularly crucial for the specifics which indicate the government does not adhere to the rule of law once they have you in custody as a terror suspect, or in her case, on suspicion of aiding terror. In other words, by saying that here's a CIA-paid asset coming forth with information about a terrorist attack, and now they're claiming that she's part of the terrorism because she has knowledge of a terrorist act. I mean, this is like saying that your spies that get information about the enemy can be prosecuted for knowing about something. She says, I cannot forget how I was subjected to secret charges, secret evidence, and secret grand jury testimony that denied my right to hear what was being told the grand jury, to face my accusers in open court, for 5 years of indictment. I cannot forget my imprisonment in a Texas military base for a year without trial and evidentiary hearing. That's in direct violation of the Constitution's speedy trial provision. She says, I cannot forget how the FBI, the U.S. Attorney's Office, the Bureau of Prisons, and the main Justice Department in Washington independently and collectively verified my story as an agent of the CIA, then falsified testimony, denying that I had any status as a U.S. intelligence asset. I mean, this is so clear. It happens all the time in cases covering up for false arrest, where they simply deny the person's relationship with government, or they make up testimony claiming something. It happened to Edwin Wilson. You know, he was indicted. He was a CIA agent, and then he was let out of the CIA and hired back as a private contractor, sent to Iran or Libya with explosives. He was then captured because the CIA himself notified the police, and they put him in jail. And when he tried to show his papers that he was still working for the CIA, the court judge said inadmissible, just like Manuel Noriega. Well, fortunately for Edwin Wilson, some 10 years after being in prison, his attorney was able to get a honest judge to rule, in fact, that the CIA had lied to the court, and the court had erred in refusing to allow Wilson's evidence that he worked for the CIA, and he was released. But that's one out of 20, that won their case.
Wilson was told to smuggle drugs or to sell drugs to Libya, which was in violation of the law. He was working for the CIA, doing what they wanted him to, and then they indicted him for doing what they had told him to do, as a CIA asset. And he'd still be rotting in prison if somebody hadn't got the truth out. And when government officials go before into our courts and consistently lie, nothing is ever done to them. If you work for the government, you're above the law. You can lie all you want to. But don't you dare ever tell anything to a government agent that isn't true. Go ahead.
Well, if you read Rodney Stitch's book on defrauding America, you see that every one of the federal whistleblowers that landed up in prison were taken down specifically in this manner. They were given an assignment. But instead of being protected by the government would telephone the police, let them know where this operation was going on, and get them arrested, and then deny that there was any relationship between the FBI and this person or the CIA and this person. It's happened dozens of times. It's a perfect modus operandi for taking down people who they want to get rid of or who they feel like are getting cold feet. And some of them didn't even realize it. They had no intentions of betraying, the CIA. They just got taken down. And I think sometimes that was done to send a lesson to other agents.
What's so important about Susan Lindauer is she knew that the 9/11 attack was coming. She tried to get the information out. She knew that they were going to attack the Twin Towers. She knew it was going to involve the hijacking. She tried to get the information out. And they had to silence her. They can't let the American people know that they knew the attack was coming, and they did nothing to stop it.
Yeah. She was wrong about her assumption that it was going to be mini nuclear weapons that they were going to use. It was going to be airplanes instead, although she did talk about hijacks. I mean, she got some disinformation along the way about nuclear weapons. But nevertheless, the general fact that she was on to hijackings that were going to occur, and the government refused to promulgate her warning, indicated that they knew that this would get in the way of their own black operations. So here's Susan Lindauer, who's waited for years for somebody to come forward and bring these people, to justice in the government, and she had hopes that the Tea Party would do that. Now, Susan Lindauer comes from the left. But she had hope in the right, but then now she says, for the record, most of the Tea Party quit their principles of liberty on February 14th, 20 days into the new Congress, when Tea Party leaders abruptly abandoned their opposition to the Patriot Act and voted to extend intrusive domestic surveillance. In doing so, they exposed the fraud of their soaring campaign.
We're out of time, Joe. God bless. Talk to you next week. We're living exciting times.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
U.S. Cash Flows reminds listeners, the results of child abuse are devastating. Each year, millions of children are subject to it. Many die. For the survivors, the pain inflicted on them influences their lives. If you or anyone you know needs help, call your local child abuse hotline. This message is from U.S. Cash Flows. For more information, call 484-6523. That's 484-6523. They're on the air reminding us all it should never hurt to be a child.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343. If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Well, Dr. Stan here. If you want to understand what's really going on, you have to understand we're fighting a spiritual battle on a political and ideological battlefield. And you want to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You want to get my talk on the Forbidden Secret, and the syllabus goes with that. That's on a DVD. You'll want to get my talk on the dark secret in the syllabus. It goes with that. We'll take you into the supernatural forces that are at work in our society today. That's the Forbidden Secret and the Dark Secret. They're different talks, but they cover an explanation of what's going on. To see how the CIA financed this whole radical Islamic movement, the book entitled The Devil's Game. Now, we've talked about another book written by John Loftus, who had a security clearance three levels above top secret. He worked for the Justice Department in the late 70s, early 1980s. He was they were trying to track down the war criminals, people who worked with the Nazis, and, of course, he goes into the fact that over 2 million Jews were killed in Byelorussia. You've never even heard about it. And, of course, the men who did that were punished by being allowed to come to America and get government jobs and live out their lives comfortably in New Jersey. And it's an amazing, amazing story. So, that's, of course, we tell that story in the America's Nazi Secret. We carry the book, a very important book. We have another book by John Loftus. It's called The Secret War Against the Jews. And if you've ordered it before, we didn't have them in stock. We couldn't get them. Now we've got a good supply. The Secret War Against the Jews. They've done everything they could to suppress this book by Loftus because he had access to all of the government documents there in the archives in Maryland. Subterranean. In fact, you remember the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark with Harrison Ford. And when they finally found the Ark, they put it in a big box. They put it in the vault there in Maryland, because it was fictitious. But the vaults are there, and John had free access to them. You'll want to get the book, The Secret War Against the Jews. And we'll be getting him on to talk on that specific subject here in the near future. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. I want to mention something new we're carrying, and certainly I'm concerned about water fluoridation, and you should be too. They're poisonous. They're also poisonous with the aluminum that they're spraying, and you need to learn about that. But one of the things that you should have a big Berkey with fluoride filters on it, and you can get it through the American Freedom Network. We certainly think the fluoride, the Berkey unit, is good, but it doesn't get all of the water. It gets your drinking water. When you bathe and when you shower, you absorb fluoride from the water. If you'd like to get a total home unit, And we've been looking for years. We finally found one that works efficiently. It's affordable, about three times the cost of the Big Berkey with the fluoride filters. Why, it's a total home filter. You'd like four filters. All the water, your bath water, your certainly, and they are affordable. They have to be installed by a plumber, but that's not difficult. Our telephone number, if you'd like the information, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for America, but pray for Radio Liberty. We are entering a dire period, a dangerous period, and life will never be the same again. So until Monday, may the Lord be with you.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com. Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. Three praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Elizabeth Lockerplant reminds us that nothing ruins a holiday celebration like a friend or loved one who gets into an accident after